One of the things Linda and I always joke about with children's sermons is, what is it I say, Linda? If you can't handle the answer, don't ask the question, right? Rule number one of children's sermons, if you can't handle the answer, don't ask the question. So this younger minister, who obviously had not learned that lesson yet, but would that day, calls all the kids of the congregation up on the front steps like we do for the children's sermon. And the scripture was the 23rd Psalm, just like today. And he told the children all about sheep, that they weren't very smart, which, I don't know, I've heard mixed things in that, but they don't look very smart, that's for sure. That they needed a lot of guidance so they'd quickly get into trouble. And that the job of the shepherd was to stay close to the sheep, to watch them very carefully, protect them from wild animals, and keep them from wandering off and doing dumb things that would get them hurt or killed. And he pointed to the little children and said that they were just like those sheep, and that they needed lots of supervision and guidance. And then the minister, you've seen this pose in stained glass windows, did the classic pose of the good shepherd. You ever see that before? Jesus standing like this with his palms facing out, kind of spread out with his arms like that. And he says to the children, if you're the sheep, then who's the shepherd? Now, obviously, he's fishing for himself. Well, there's silence for a bit. And then one of the kids says, Jesus. That's the answer to every children's sermon question, Jesus. Jesus is the shepherd. Well, the minister was caught a little by surprise. So he says to the boy, well, then, who am I? Well, the child thought about it for a minute, and he said, I guess you must be a sheepdog. You know, that kind of hurts, and it hits close to home. Sometimes we pastors need to be reminded that while we are called to be, among other things, a shepherd, to, wait for it, our flock, we need to remember that we are not the good shepherd, not even close. And on the best of days, we're probably not much better than a sheepdog. But of course, the use of sheep and flock and shepherd is metaphorical. Jesus is not an honest-to-goodness shepherd. We are not sheep, genetically speaking, anyway. And that's what makes this psalm so beautiful, and what makes it stick with us, and why we turn to it in times of trouble. Because the many metaphors we find in Psalm 23 are so beautiful and so comforting and so reassuring. And they're easy to remember, especially in times of trouble. Not to mention that this psalm deals with the business of everyday life, common activities like eating and drinking and relaxing and facing the troubles of the day, things we do every day. And that's why it resonates so deeply in us. We can relate to each and every metaphor that the author uses. And it reminds us that God is with us, intimately with us, even and especially in the most basic and typical routines of our lives. The Good Shepherd. How does the psalm begin? You know it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, for all you royal family lovers out there, kings are supposed to be shepherds of their people and to provide for them, not live off of them. In Psalm 23, God is portrayed as that greatest of shepherds, the one who provides food in green pastures, drink from still waters, and safety and shelter in right paths. It's all so beautiful, isn't it, Psalm 23? And so many times we can't help but shed a tear or two every time we hear this song. It's like the song Amazing Grace. There is such a strong connection between that song and this Psalm 23 and funerals that it's easy to fall into the trap and we don't see how this psalm is really about our everyday living. Not just about our time of death and mourning. You know, in this day and age, our lives are changing so fast, and every day brings a new set of challenges and demands on our time, that it's only when we stop and pause for a minute, like when someone who we know dies, that we can begin to appreciate the message of Psalm 23. And then life intrudes again, and we're caught up in all of it, and we're crazy busy. Our lives are constantly changing. Yet Psalm 23 reminds us to hold to the God who doesn't change, who's changeless. Our lives are a whirlwind of activity and emotion. Yet Psalm 23 invites us to rest a while and take a load off and set a spell, as they say on the Beverly Hillbillies. Set a spell besides those still waters and green pastures. And that's a challenge that this psalm poses for us, to stay focused on the changeless God while we go through that ever-changing routine of our lives. Caught up in the crazy moments of living, we react and respond to the most urgent demands. And when we do that, it can drown out that gentle leading of our good shepherd. You know, I love technology. I don't do Facebook, so don't bother looking for me on Facebook. I'm not there. But I love technology. But it comes with a huge temptation to feel that your life is a whole lot more urgent than it probably really is. You have to reply to that email, right? Someone sent it to you. They want a response. And you have to respond to that comment on Facebook if you do Facebook. And you have to retweet that tweet and read that direct message and listen to that voicemail and answer that text. And you got to do it right now. No delay. ASAP. I love pounding the pulpit. But it's true. In our highly connected times, and we are highly connected, we're bombarded with more and more demands on things that want our attention. I've heard it called the tyranny of the urgent. Our challenge is to keep the shepherd at the center of our life, to find those inner still waters and green pastures and listen for where God is leading us. Or else, what happens? We just kind of spiral out of control. You ever get spiraled out of control in your life and you sink into that sea of crazy? Even though I walk through the darkest valley or the valley of the shadow of death, however your version says it, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Those are words of remembering, reminding us that even in the worst parts of our life, God's care for us will be enough. And that's the character of God, of the shepherd who longs to be the center of our lives, that everything else revolves around that. Remembering that God is present with us, even and especially in those times of crazy. And you know what I'm talking about. You know, your darkest valley could be anything, an illness, a betrayal, a marital problem, the loss of a job, a failure in school, or a business venture. Whatever your darkest valley is, your shepherd God is with you, offering you comfort and respite. Our changeless God is that constant and steady when our lives seem like anything but constant and steady. And then at the end of the psalm, God's role changes from that caring shepherd to a gracious host. And once again, God's goodness remains constant, even when situations change. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Our shepherd, the perfect host, provides for us what we need when we need it. And we only have to listen for his voice. Through all of those difficult and disturbing and changing times of our lives, we are cared for and loved by a changeless God. We have a God at the center of our lives who gives us the assurance that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and that I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. The shepherd's promise to us is that even when we're trying to find our way through our dark valleys, we are pursued. Think of that, pursued by goodness and mercy. I like that kind of pursuit. Worrying about our daily needs, God sets a table for us and pours an overflowing cup. Unsure about our future, God invites us to dwell in God's house our whole lives long. God offers us a perfectly balanced life, one in which today's threats are balanced by God's help, today's needs are balanced by God's gifts to us, and tomorrow's uncertainties are balanced by God's promises. And we can be thankful that our Good Shepherd is present for us in any time or season of our lives. And our Shepherd's presence brings balance to the places in our life that are out of balance. Green pastures balanced by dark valleys, need balanced by grace, fear balanced by God's presence. In both joy and sorrow, good and bad, the Lord provides for us and walks with us. So like Jed Clampett would say, set a spell. Set a spell and take your shoes off. Rest beside those still waters and green pastures and find rest for your soul. Come to God's banqueting table, this very table, and taste and see the goodness of our Good Shepherd. You know, the one who promises, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Come and set a spell. Amen.